Back to Judges 13. Going, the Lord willing, bring another Old Testament type of Christ tonight. I told you before that I learned to value preaching of the types of Christ from not only my pastor, but a faithful elder in the church in Ashland, Kentucky, of many years, named Charles Payne, who is right now looking at the substance, not the shadow. He who liked to preach the type so much is now looking face to face with him. I ran across these statements here by two eminent saints and preachers of old, Robert Murray McShane and John Bunyan, both of whom made this quote, and I put them in for this Sunday's bulletin. You'll want this, a copy of this. Listen very carefully, okay? As they speak of these Old Testament types of Christ in the Scripture, listen very carefully, all right? Suppose that one to whom you, and I may paraphrase so you can understand, suppose that one to whom you were a stranger was wrapped in a thick veil so that you could not discern his features. Somebody didn't know. Still, if his outline could be pointed out to you through the folds or through the cloth, you could form some idea of the form of the veiled one. But suppose that one whom you know and love, whose features you've often studied face to face, suppose he were to be veiled up in this way, how easily you would discern the features and form of that one you knew. Did you catch that? Huh? Now, we've seen the person of Christ. We've seen him. We've seen him. And we look back at these veiled forms of him, we see clearly. Even though veiled, we see very clearly right through the cloth, through the veil. But some, he says here, the Jews looked upon a veiled Savior whom they had never seen unveiled. We, under the New Testament, look upon an unveiled Savior. And going back on the Old Testament, we can see far better than the Jews could. Features and form of Jesus Christ, the Beloved, under that veil. We see him in Isaac offered, in the scapegoat, in the shadow of the rock. What exquisite pictures they're seeing of Christ, and how much more plainly we can see than believers above. Isn't that true? That's a good... I never heard it put any better, except maybe this way, by John Bunyan. Now, that was Robert Murray McShane. Now, listen to this. This came from Bunyan's Holy War. Bunyan writes in his book, The Holy War, the people of Mansoul feasting. This is when the prince, Emmanuel, came back in and set up and captured back the town for himself, and they were feasting at a big table now. The wedding supper. Listen, this is great. They were feasting at the prince's table, and riddles were set before them. And these riddles were made about the king and about his son, and upon his wars and doings with Mansoul. And when they read in the skin, because this is the scheme. When they read where the riddles were writ, where the riddles were written, and looked in the face of the prince, they looked so alike, one to the other, that they said, they couldn't help but say, this is the lamb. This is the sacrifice. That's the rock. This is the red heifer. This is the door. This is the way. Isn't that great? But you have a copy. It's a little easier maybe to read for yourself and enjoy it. But you have a copy Sunday. I have for you tonight, I believe, what should be very, extremely edifying and as well as interesting of type. Now listen carefully as I build this up, what I'm about to say. I'm going to make an assertion that I stand by. The Scripture says that it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. All fullness dwell in Christ. Fullness of what? In Him dwelleth all the secrets of wisdom and knowledge. At Colossians, all the way through Colossians, it talks about in Him, in Him. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. The fullness of Scripture, fullness of mercy and love, and so on. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Can you quote the rest of it? Louder. Bodily. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the triune God in a body. John 1:14 says the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. All right, quite often in the Old Testament Scriptures it says, and the Lord appeared unto so-and-so. Doesn't it? The Lord appeared unto so-and-so. Since God is Spirit, since God is a consuming fire, since no man can see God and live, the Scripture said, no man hath seen God at any time, nor can see Him, the Scripture said, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. I assert that every single appearance of God in Scriptures is Jesus Christ. Every time someone spoke to a man, or God spoke to a man, it was through Christ. Based on those four scriptures I just quoted you from Colossians and John 1 and 1 Timothy 3. Okay? And Christ, I personally believe, bodily appeared many times in the Old Testament scriptures. We find the name, we find this name, the angel of the Lord. Many times. A couple of times it is, you want some good reading tonight? Go over to Exodus 23. Not now. I said tonight, Rebecca. Okay. Not now. Exodus 23 and read for yourself. It has the word angel capitalized. The angel of the Lord. And you read there how the children of Israel, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The name, the angel of the Lord, is found quite often and at very extremely important times in Scripture. When Abraham, you remember we studied when Abraham received the covenant promise in Genesis 18, it says the angel of the Lord came to him. When Jacob had that same covenant confirmed to him for him and his sons, you remember that? When Jacob had his name changed, he wrestled with a man. A man wrestled with him, rather. And that one changed his name and blessed him. Now, who can do that? And you remember what he called that? Bethel, the house of God. That, and I'll give you these references sometime if you want them. When Moses received the law, when Moses stood before the burning bush, you know what it says was in the bush? The angel of the Lord was in the bush. That's what it said. The angel of the Lord was in the bush that burned. When Israel, when the children of Israel there in Exodus 23 were told that God's angel would go before them. The angel of the Lord would go before them, and you better be sure that you obey Him. You obey Him. And He'll go before you and drive out your enemy. When Joshua met, you remember our study not too long ago, when Joshua met the captain of the Lord's host and he had a sword drawn? Remember that, Joe? Between a rock and a hard place? There's a man that stood in front of him. And remember Joshua said, you on our side? Or he said, no, you better be on mine. When Gideon received his call, says the angel of the Lord did it. Well, and I'm not saying all this for the sake of originality or sensationalism or to capture your attention, but I believe since Christ is all and in all, in Him dwelleth all the fullness, it pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell, and all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Since Malachi 3:1 says He's the messenger of the covenant. You know what messenger means? You know what the word messenger is? It's the same word as angel. Every time the word angel is used in the Scripture, it means messenger, and vice versa. Malachi 3:1 says, suddenly the messenger of the covenant shall come to his people. The angel of the covenant. And that's Christ. There's no clearer picture, no clearer prophecy of Christ than that Malachi 3:1. Since Christ is, listen, Christ is called the Word. Christ is called the messenger of the covenant. He's called the mediator of the covenant. He's the intercessor. He's the one that speaks for God to men and men to God. That's what intercessor means. Because he's the captain of the salvation and the Lord of hosts, I believe Christ came himself at the most important times to do what only He could do. No man can see God. God's voice is the sound of many waters, too. God's going to have to put it in language we can understand. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son, in Son language. S-O-N language. And I believe He came at the most important times. I gave you a few of them, to Abraham, Jacob. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You sons of Jacob. When He came and gave that covenant to Jacob, He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, old Joe Jacob is not consumed. He's Israel. Israel Parks. Same Lord. And He came, you remember when it says the voice of God came walking in the garden, the cool of day, when Adam, the first sinner, fell? Who preached the gospel? You talk about an important time in history. The first time the gospel's to be preached, God going to turn that over to an angel? Angels don't preach the gospel. Do they, Stan? They don't know it. 1 Peter 1:12 says, which things the angels desire to look into. They delivered the law, but when the voice of God came walking in the cool of the garden, Adam, where are you? And told of that woman's seed that was to come, I believe as the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb slain before the foundation of the Savior came to the first sinner. That's the reason I believe Adam was a saved man. And he's going to have the victory. First sinner. Last sinner is going to be saved too. All right. When God established the covenant, when He called out His own, when He leads His people into the promised land, and here in Judges 13, the angel of the Lord appears to a man and his wife. See if all this doesn't sound real familiar, like it's happened before, and it happened after this. He appears to a barren woman. I remember the angel of the Lord appearing to another barren woman named Sarah. You remember that? When He told her and her husband that the son of promise, the seed of Abraham, which figures Christ, the seed. And Hannah, you remember Hannah, barren woman? You remember who Hannah gave birth to, don't you? Samuel. Samuel, two of the greatest of men. God's real prophet, true prophet, Samuel. Now he appears to announce the conception and birth of one who would deliver Israel from the Philistines. Samson. The one to deliver Israel from the hand of their enemies. Sound familiar? By himself. This one man, by himself, Samson, is going to single-handedly deliver Israel from the hand of his enemies, from their enemies, Samson. And I believe this is he's a type of Christ as well, who delivers us by himself, who purged our sin, delivered us from captivity. All right, the angel appears to the woman first. Notice that as we read it. The angel appeared to the woman first. Does that sound familiar? Christ came to Mary first. Did he not? He came to the woman first. Now let's begin in verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance like the countenance of an angel of God." Very terrible. Terrible. But I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. He wouldn't tell me his name. Very terrible. Others in scriptures sought to give a description of the Lord Jesus Christ when he appeared unto them. Daniel. You remember Daniel giving that description? Sounded just like John's description in Revelation 1. It doesn't sound like Oral Roberts' description. The description Daniel gave, the description John gave, was one of a terrible countenance. Or that is, it would strike terror in flesh and blood. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8 and 9. So the woman came and told her husband, or the angel of the Lord told her what she was to do and was not to do. In verse 8, Manoah, the woman came and told her husband. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, entreated the Lord, and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us." Let the man of God come again. He appeared once. Scripture says that. He appeared once. And now in the end of the world shall he appear again without sin the second time unto salvation. Once, yea, twice. And that's what God's people pray for, is that he would come again. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Read on. Manoah said, "Tell us, teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." Or, in other words, what kind of child he will be. Teacher, what kind of child? And verse 8 and 9, let's read these together. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman. The second time he appeared again to the woman. Does that sound familiar? When Christ came the first time, he appeared to Mary, right? Okay? When he died and arose again and came back and reappeared, who did he appear to? A woman. The men weren't with her. Read on. And he came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Manoah prayed, and the angel reappeared to the woman. Christ, like I said, first appeared to the woman and has appeared the second time after his resurrection unto the woman. Verse 10. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. Does that sound familiar, Sherry? And he just didn't hardly believe her. Again. And Christ appeared to Mary. You remember, she came running and told the disciples. They didn't believe her. And finally, he appeared to them too.
Read on. The woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me. The same one that came unto me the other day. The same man appeared unto me. The same man. The scripture says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the disciples stood on that mountain and watched him go back into heaven, you remember what the angel said? You men of Israel, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen ascend shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Same one. Just wait. He'll appear again. He'll come again. Same man. Same man. Verse 11. All right. And Manoah arose and went after his wife. And he came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? Are you the one we look for? Or do we look for another? Does that sound familiar? Huh? John told his disciples, Go ask this one, Are you the one we look for? Or do we look for another? Are you the one? Art thou the Christ? Tell us plainly. Are you the one? Manoah said. Look what how he answered. He really, I am. Men came to seek Christ in the garden, you remember? And soldiers said, he said, Whom do you seek? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they fell backward. Well, Manoah didn't quite yet know who this was, or he would have done the same. Look at verse 12 now. Manoah said, Now, what all you told to the woman here, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? My margin says, What is the manner of the child? What shall he do? What's the manner of the child? What sort of child is he? What's his work? Now, he'd already told this, hadn't he? He'd already told the woman. And now here he is speaking the second time. He repeats himself. Well, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is established. See, he spoke, and then the woman told the man, and then he spoke again. See, he spoke once. Now here he speaks twice. Once hath he spoken, yet twice. This thing's established. Does that sound familiar? And here he gives orders concerning the birth of this child. Verses 13 and 14. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware, or let her believe, let her heed, let her be a doer of what I said, not a hearer only. Beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Now turn to Luke chapter 1 with me. Luke chapter 1. And here we have the account of the angel appearing to Mary and to Joseph concerning the birth of Christ. All right, the angel of the Lord there is giving to Manoah's wife. He's not just giving her good prenatal instructions. I'm not trying to be clever here, but it was good advice. Right? Everything the Lord says has a very practical and good reason behind it. Practical reason, but it chiefly has a spiritual meaning. All right, this is typical. See, the Nazarite of old. The Nazarite of old. Christ is called, he came from Nazareth, wasn't it? They called him the Nazarene. Well, a Nazarite of old is a holy man unto God. That's what Samuel was, a Nazarite. Samson was a Nazarite unto the Lord, holy unto the Lord. And what this typifies, all of this that he gives this woman. Tell her not touch anything unclean, that this child shall be born of you and be a Nazarite, holy unto the Lord. This is typical of the sinless nature of Christ that was born of Mary, of woman. The seed of woman. That's the reason he's called the seed of woman. He's not the seed of man. He's the sinless one. He does not have Adam's nature in him. He does not have the seed of man in him. That's the reason Christ had to be born of a virgin. See, a woman doesn't have a seed. It's the seed of man that impregnates a woman, right? Well, how Mary was impregnated was by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what God said, this holy thing. That's what the angel said. This holy thing shall overshadow Mary, and he'll be holy, the Holy One of Israel. And all of this typifies the holy nature of Christ. Look at Luke 1, verses 31 through 35. Luke 1, verses 31 and following. And behold, here's the angel speaking to Mary. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Matthew 1 says, call his name Jesus. For here's the reason. Here's what it means. He shall save his people from their sin. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. He shall be. What is he going to be like? What's he going to be like? Mary made of that. That's what Manoah asked. What's he going to be like? He shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. Listen to this. You know what Samson means? Sunshine. Son of the Highest. The sun has arisen with healing in his wing. Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Sounds like Isaiah 9. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? I've never known a man. I know not a man. And here's his instructions unto her. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And this angel's name was given in Matthew 1. Gabriel. They told his name, specifically said, this is his name, Gabriel. No mystery. Wasn't the angel of the Lord. It's Gabriel. Okay? Well, back here in our story, the angel of the Lord, back in Judges 13, the angel of the Lord appeared, and strikingly similar to the announcement of our Lord's birth. Now look at verse 15 in the text. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid. Let's see, honey, what could we fix? What do you got in there? Well, I got some lamb. That's good. We'll fix some lamb. All right, stay here. He didn't know who he was staying. Let us detain thee. Stay here and we'll make ready a kid. He just thought he was an ordinary man. Make a kid for you, a lamb. We'll slay a lamb. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, look at verse 16. He said, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. If thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. And Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. I remember when that young ruler came to Christ and said, good master. He said, wait a minute. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. You can offer sacrifice or worship or call anybody good, call God that. He's trying Manoah here. You offer an offering unto the Lord. He didn't know him yet, Joe. He says, I'm going to offer it to him. Well, he said, you offer it to the Lord. And we'll find out in a moment. Look at Luke 22. Luke 22. Keep your place there. Turn over to Luke 22.
The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, I will not eat. I will not eat. Now you offer a burnt offering unto the Lord. And Manoah knew him not. Now look at Luke 22 here. Just before our Lord went to the cross. Just before our Lord went to the cross, to Calvary, to become that sin sacrifice. Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's what every single Jewish sacrifice represented, was the death of Christ on the cross. The burnt offering, every single lamb and bullock and everything that was offered on the altar was burnt by fire. It was consumed on the altar. That's representative of Christ who hung on the cross bearing the fiery wrath and indignation of a holy God against our sin. Christ went through hell on the cross for his people. He was a burnt offering on that cross. He was the lamb slain, and he was also a burnt offering on that cross. And right before Christ went to the cross to become our burnt offering, you know what he said to his disciples? Look at Luke 22, verse 15. He said, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Sacrifice needs to be made to the Lord first.
We'll eat again a little while.
Do you see the significant mere coincidence? Read on. He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among yourselves. I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine unto the kingdom of God. And took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup at the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. I'm not going to eat. We'll offer a sacrifice to the Lord first. Now back to the text. Judges 13. No, wait a minute.
Turn first over to Luke 24,
all right? Luke 24. I wrote this down, and you're familiar with this. Luke 24, look over here. Look at verse 29. You know this well. The disciples were on the road to Emmaus talking, and here this man appeared unto them, and they didn't know who he was. And they constrained him, said, stay and eat a while. Does that sound familiar? And he was known, read on, verse 29, they constrained him, abide with us. It's toward evening, the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave them, their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. It's no mere coincidence. The Lord bears witness of himself. Over and over and over and over and who he is. Now back to the text there in Judges 13. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, I will not eat. Offer a burnt offering unto the Lord. Manoah didn't know him. And verse 17, Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, well, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. What's your name? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name? See, and it is secret. Why wouldn't he tell him his name? Why isn't it Gabriel or Michael, the archangel? Some name. Why didn't he tell him his name? You know, your margin, you uttered it. You whispered it. Did your margin say something beside that? What does it say? Somebody say it.
Say it louder.
Wonderful.
Said, unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Secret. Wonderful. Over in Revelation 3, I believe it is. or five, I forget which one it is. It said three. It says that he had a name which no man knew except him to whom it was revealed. And in Revelation 19, it says that he had a name written which no man knew. And on down it says, and this is his name. The Word. The Word of God. And as I've often said, you don't understand the Word of God unless you see the Word of God in the Word of God. This story here, what's it about? What's all this about if it doesn't picture Christ? What is anything about in the Old Testament if it's not of Christ? Christ may have preached this to those disciples on the road. It says he opened up the books and preached unto them the things concerning himself. Oh, my. The secret things belong unto us and our children. The secret name of this angel is Jesus Christ. He couldn't say Jesus Christ because he wasn't manifest in the flesh yet. Had a body as a man. But here he is. He's veiled up. All right? Let's go on. Look at verse 19. So Manoah took a kid, or took a lamb with a meat offering, and offered it on a rock. A lamb on a rock, Joe. A lamb on a rock. And unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. The angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on as the angel did wondrously. Here's what the angel did. Verse 20, it came to pass, when the flame went up, when the flame was kindled on the altar, and the sacrifice began burning toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended up in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it all, saw it all, and they fell on their faces. Now this is why I know this is no angel, mere angel. Nobody touches or gets near or has anything to do with the sacrifice of the lamb. Right? God killed a man named Uzzah one time for just touching the ark. Would any angel dare go in that flame and mingle himself with that holy sacrifice unto God? Who is this? Is there any doubt in your mind? This is Jesus Christ. Who is he? And they looked on, Manoah and his wife looked on this sacrifice, the angel of the Lord in the sacrifice, the burnt offering ascending up unto the Lord. And they fell on their faces. They fell on their faces. Oh my, after Christ was made sin for us on that altar of the cross, was made a burnt offering for us, Scripture says he arose and ascended on high where he led captivity captive, and now he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high where he ever lives to make intercession for us. This is the one sacrifice that was not consumed. He will not suffer his Holy One to suffer corruption. He was not consumed in the flame. But he was changed. And he sat down at the right hand of God. All right, verse 21. Now Manoah knows who this is. Verse 21. The angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah anyway. He vanished. After they knew who he was, he vanished. That's what it said in Luke 24, didn't it? He vanished. Then Manoah knew this was the angel of the Lord. And look at what Manoah said unto his wife. We're going to die. We shall surely die. Because we have seen God. We've looked on God. We're going to die. No, Manoah. God said, look unto me and live. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of that. But no man hath seen God at any time, nor can see God, Paul said. Didn't it? In 2 Timothy. No man hath or can see God. But the only begotten Son, he hath declared it, and we have seen him, John said. We've handled him. Maybe even Noah shook his hand. Thank you for coming, man.
we've seen God. John, that's what John and Peter and James were saying, weren't they? We beheld His glory. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. John, all John could say was that. What'd you see, John? That holy thing. Oh my, we beheld the Shekinah glory of God in the face of a person. If you want to call it His face. Because it shined as the sun in all its strength. Well, Manoah's wife was a wise woman, wasn't she? I like what she said here. Look at this in closing. Three things that she told Manoah, and three things we need to remember. Three things we need to remember. Those who have looked to Christ by faith and seen His glory, we've seen God. Look at this. His wife said unto Manoah, now, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hand. You know what that is? That's a successful sacrifice. That's particular redemption. That's exactly what that is. Whoever offered that sacrifice and the Lord received it, that person's not going to die. They're going to live. And whoever Jesus Christ died for, whoever He shed His precious blood for, won't die. They're going to live. Why? Their sins are paid for. Who is He that condemneth? Christ died. God accepted the sacrifice. We are accepted in the Beloved. Well, I'm going to die. I'm a sinner. No. Christ, that is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus died for sinners. He receiveth sinners. He died for sinners. That's why He came. He said He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. He came to make a sacrifice for sinners. And God accepted the sacrifice. The bells are still ringing on the garment of the high priest. Do you hear them? I'm trying right now to ring it. The bells are still ringing. He lives. God accepted the sacrifice. He ever lives to make intercession for who? Well, if any man sin, we have an advocate. With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's not going to kill us, though we be sinned. Read on. She says, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, the next thing she said, would He have showed us all these things? You see, He said, Christ said, go tell John that the blind receive their sight. He said, some people, He said, I'm going to harden their heart. He said, because you say you see and you don't, you're blind, you're going to remain blind. If you say you sit blind, you're going to see. Christ came to give eyesight to the blind. He says, tell unto them, they that walk in darkness have seen a great light. The children that walk in darkness have seen a great light. He said, He caused us to see out of obscurity. Obscure passages such as this. We've seen the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, would the Lord have showed us all this if He intended to kill him? Huh? No, He doesn't show these things to people He intends to kill. He just leaves them in the dark. Right? That's what He said. He said, Satan hath blinded their minds, lest they should see and be converted, and I should heal them. He's opened our eyes. Read on. Here's another thing she said. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, He wouldn't have, at this time, told us such things as this. Not only has He shown us glorious things, but He told us glorious things. He wouldn't have said what He said to us. But what did He say? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said to His disciples over there, John, He said, Peter, He said, and James and John,
I go in my Father's house, he said,
are many mansions.
If it were not so,
I would have told you.
But it's so. I can't lie. I don't lie. My words settle forever. Now, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Father, I will that they be with me where I am. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he wouldn't have told us those things. I give unto them eternal life. Whoever trusts me, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what Manoah's name means? Rest.
Manoah's troubled.
You hear trouble?
Rest for that.
If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted the sacrifice. He wouldn't have shown us all this. He wouldn't have told us this glorious thing. He can't lie. He can't lie. And the result of all this was the mighty son was born. Sam's son. Sunlight. Sunlight. What a good name. Sunlight. Son was born. Sunlight out of all this story. Oh, my. It's too deep for me. Too deep for me. Oh, my. Who can find out God unto perfection? Oh, my. His ways are past finding out. All right. Well, we beheld his glory. All right, let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We're vessels of earthen vessels, sinful, vile, wretched, wicked creatures. And we feel like saying with Manoah at times, oh, the Lord ought to kill us. But dear Lord, we plead with Manoah's wife. This is our plea. That, oh Lord, we don't believe you're pleased to kill us. Or you wouldn't have accepted the sacrifice on our behalf. You wouldn't have shown us these glorious pictures of Christ at which we so delight in. The Holy Spirit must surely be the one who's taken these things of Christ and shown them unto us. Or else we could not see them for ourselves. They're spiritually discerned. Or that you wouldn't have told us these things. That your word, which liveth and abideth forever, and which passeth not away, is settled. And we believe it and base all our hope and our assurance for eternal life on the word of the living God. Our hope is built. What more can you say to us than you have said? We believe, Lord. We believe now. And we are sure that you will be true to your promise to us as you were to Manoah. Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing us these things and show us more wondrous things as Christ, the messenger of the covenant, has done so wondrously for his people. Him whose name is wonderful, the mighty God. Show us more wonderful things. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.